Welcome to the media ministry of Crossroads Church Aspen. To learn more about Crossroads, visit our website at ccaspen.com. We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Derek Brown.
Great worship, Cheryl. So glad to have you back. What a treat for me and all of us. Glad you're here this morning. I want to tell you, we had some anniversaries this week. Steve and Michelle celebrated an anniversary. Jen and I celebrated an anniversary. 20 years for us, 25 years for them. Thank you. I'm sure there are others. Who else has had an anniversary this month in June? No, come on, you guys. In June? Okay. Right back there. Thank you, Tom. But congratulations to all. Jen told me this week it seemed like 30. I don't know what that means, but I'm sure it's a compliment. Thank you, honey. I'll tell you a quick story about marriage. This is true, really. First year we were married, we were having dinner. We were at Centennial, little studio apartment. Man, I'm thrilled. I mean, in marriage, right, it doesn't always go the way you want. Even with the best laid plans, we're having a candlelight dinner. It's our first few months of marriage. We're sitting there. Everything's perfect. I look at her and I say this. I say, honey, you look so beautiful in this low light. I meant it. We both started laughing immediately. Can't believe I said that. This is going to be an interactive service today. So we're going to talk about some strengths and weaknesses, okay? And you have a little card in the seat in front of you. On the right, there are two little 3x5 index cards. If you will, grab one of those. We're going to have a look at this. And I want you to write down some things for me. So I have my card here. And there's some pens. Save enough for the second service. But I want you to grab your card, and I want you to grab a pen. And down in the lower right-hand corner of this card, I want you to write down one of your strengths. Okay? What? I'm sorry? What do you need? Oh, okay. Strengths in the bottom right. You can write one of your strengths or two. Okay? And on the other side, in the lower left, I want you to write down one of your weaknesses. Okay? Now, this is a weakness, not a temptation, a limitation or a shortcoming. You can't put there, I have trouble apologizing to my wife, speaking of marriage. Apologizing to your wife should be easy. You just, right, you take her by the hand, look her right in the eye, and you say, honey, if you've offended her or something, honey, I am so sorry. It's easy, I promise you. Jen did it 10 to 15 times this week. I'm kidding. So write down one of your weaknesses over there, a limitation, something that you feel is a shortcoming that prevents you from doing something. You have that? Okay, for those of you that are having trouble finding a weakness, maybe the rest of us might have a suggestion or two for you. Okay, so you got your card here, and we're going to talk about, No. I thought I could control this. Well, we just tested the sound on the video. It doesn't work, so we got 10 minutes, 20 minutes to fix that. Yeah, go back to there, and I'll see if this is going to work for us. If it can't, I'm going to have you. And there we go. So we're going to talk about strengths and weaknesses. No, actually, we're going to talk about our weaknesses. Okay? Do you mind? It's kind of a difficult subject, right? And more importantly, I think more specifically, I want to talk about your weaknesses. Oh, and his, and theirs, and mine. Don't worry, and I don't mean to make you uncomfortable, but really it's kind of an uncomfortable subject, isn't it? Because the reality is none of us want to really admit or confess that we might have any weaknesses. I mean, after all, from everything we can gather around us, everything we're exposed to, social media, Facebook, it would appear that no one else seems to have any, am I right? Have you picked up on this? Do you know, by the way, how many people are on Facebook today? 2.2 billion people are on Facebook. Can you believe that? 2.2 billion people. You probably already know this, but most of those are from Texas. Just a shout out, just welcoming you all back. So good to have you here. I'm very proud to tell you today, though, with all the influence of social media, it gives me pleasure to stand before you and tell you I am not on social media at the moment. I know that carries technicalities, but it feels good. I mean, you should try it. It feels good. So much on there that tells us, you know, we should be perfect maybe, right? I don't know about you, but two things seem to happen to me with social media. Number one, it somehow magnifies my weaknesses. And then at the same time, somehow it can make me begin to think that I don't have any, or maybe I shouldn't have any. Do you know the effect of this? Get your card, and in the top left corner, I mean, how aware are we of our weaknesses? I'm not really sure. So in the top left corner, on a scale of 1 to 10, 6 being the highest, how aware are you of your weaknesses? Let's put a number there. So now we have our weakness in the bottom left, a strength in the bottom right. We have our awareness rated by ourselves of our weakness in the top left. What are some responses that we might have to our weaknesses? I'm going to go through a few. Maybe you relate. Maybe there are others. But I want to kind of try to get us thinking about similar things that may occur in our minds, hearts, lives. So one thing I think we do with our weaknesses, right? We cover them up. We ignore them. We don't want to think about them. We don't want to talk about them. That's the whole thing on social media. Everything we see on there is amazing. It's incredible, right? Most of what we see there are trips. There's a perfect night out, a sun-kissed day at the beach, and breakfast. I'm not sure about breakfast, but it makes me want that breakfast. It makes me feel like my coffee, my breakfast, my cup is just not quite good enough, right? And so we ignore them. Second thing we do, I think, is we compensate. We overcompensate for them, maybe with a strength, maybe with another weakness. But I think this happens to us sometimes unknowingly. We numb them. We can just kind of make them go away with various things in our lives. And I think somehow, I think we're drawn to them. In some way, we probably go online and in some unconscious, unhealthy way, dwell on them more and more. We isolate so that no one knows, so that we don't talk about them, we don't have to deal with them, we don't have to be in community. We try and keep these things away from everyone. So what do we do about them? That's the big question. What do I do about my weaknesses? I want to go a little deeper before we begin to answer that question from Scripture. I want to share something with you, a modern parable called The Man in the Meadow. Just listen. A man stands in an open meadow and says to another, "Look at that mighty mountain." The other man, standing behind a wall of trees, replies, "What mountain?" The man in the meadow returns, pointing his finger, "The mountain, just there. Take in its height. Marvel at its beauty." The man behind the trees replies, "For I do not see any mountain." With some frustration, the man in the meadow says, "My friend, only look at it. You must look at it. It's beautiful." Suddenly, the man in the meadow realizes the man behind the trees does not perceive the mountain. And so he says to him, "I see now that you are behind the trees. Come, walk with me," he says. "I will show you the way to the place in the meadow. From there, you will see the mountain." After a short journey, the two men stand in the open meadow and marvel together at the mountain, its height, its beauty, its grandeur. The following day, the man stands again in the open meadow and says to yet another, "Look at that mighty mountain." The other man replies, "What mountain?" To which the man in the meadow responds, "Of course, do not worry, I'm coming for you. You must walk with me to the place in the meadow." So he races to his side and walks with him to the place in the meadow. "There, that mountain, isn't it beautiful?" The other man says, "But I am blind, so I cannot simply look at the mountain as you can from this meadow or from any other. You must tell me of its beauty." And so gladly the man in the meadow begins to describe the mountain. "It rises majestic against the morning sky," he says. "It stands bright and tall in the noonday sun. It spreads wide across the land with its great shoulders. It has many forests that grow along its slopes." And after an eloquent description, the blind man replies, "Now I can see the mountain, its height, its beauty, its grandeur." Once again, the man stands in the open meadow and says to still another man, "Look at the mighty mountain." The other man replies, "What mountain? My eyes are not as sharp as they once were. My legs have grown weary." The man in the meadow returns, "Of course, do not worry. In the end, you shall see the mountain and all its beauty. I have helped others like you." And so he races to the other man's side and walks with him to the place in the meadow. He carries him part of the way. He describes its size, its height, its beauty, its grandeur. And after spending much of his energy and all of his words, he finally says, "Friend, I wish only you had my eyes, my strength. But even so, you now can see the mountain. Can you now see the mountain and all its beauty?" The other man says in a gentle voice, "Yes, I can see and have seen that mountain. I have perceived its height, its beauty, its grandeur. For I have climbed that mountain. I have hiked through the foothills to its titanic base. I have struggled up its steep slopes. I have drunk deep from the streams that spring forth fresh and cool from its depths. I have laid supine in the shade of its forest trees. I have gazed with wonder at the miniature flowers which grow in the rarefied air above its timberline. I have come face to face with the great goats that wander through its rocky places. I have cowered with fear beneath great storms that gather around its north face. I have reclined on its summit and looked out upon all the surrounding and distant countryside. Yes, I have seen that mountain, and you should see this meadow from its highest point." That's my story. That's my parable. I wrote that about 7 years ago. I believe God gave me this idea to reveal a little bit more and a little bit more of my own heart. Because how many of us have ever been in the place that we think we have the perspective, we have the experience? Oh, man. Humility is required if we're going to dig into weaknesses. Am I right? Great humility is required. And the Word tells us that the Lord lifts up the humble and opposes the proud. He humbles the proud and lifts up the humble. So one way or another, humility is coming, isn't it? We don't need to run from our weaknesses. In fact, Scripture is going to tell us it might be one of the worst things we could do. We're going to look at some passages, or one passage from 2 Corinthians this morning. Look at this. Listen to Paul. I'm going to back up so you don't read ahead. Paul is talking in this letter to the Corinthians, in this section of the letter, about how he could boast. what he could boast of. And he says the words, if anyone is able to boast, it is I. It is me. If anyone can boast, I can. But he says, I will not. And he's trying to make a point. I will not boast in the things of man. But listen what he boasts in. So let's read this. This is on your screen, or if you have your Bible or your phone. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain, so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in the weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Boy, who's giving us that message today? When I am weak, I am strong. If we think about our weaknesses, we try and push them away, or we try and overcompensate, or just use our strengths, or build ourselves up. And somehow, in our mind, it's possible for that scale of where am I, how confident am I in what I'm doing, what's happening in my world, in my relationships, in my business. It's so possible and so easy for any of us to give that a number that seems adequate to us. And here comes Paul and says, no, I will boast in my weaknesses. We all try to put ourselves in a good light most of the time. And that meter goes, you know, here and there. Sometimes it's just very subtle. Sometimes it's more direct. Hard to stomach. Paul's saying he's going to boast in his weaknesses, in his infirmities, in his difficulties, and somehow Satan gives him a thorn in the flesh. And if you look at your weakness, I don't know if that's a thorn in the flesh. I'm not saying that's the case, given to you by Satan. But we look at it as if, man, if this could be removed, then I could fill in the blank. So at the top of your card, I want you to write something that, is, if it's ever occurred to you, or maybe it's on your mind regularly, and you don't have to write anything, but for those of you who feel this, write what you believe maybe your weaknesses have prevented you from doing. Make sense? Could be one word. Could be 2 or 3 things. If there's anything you feel your shortcomings, weaknesses, or limitations, man, I was born in this part of the country and this industry is really happening here. Or I was born to these parents and boy, this couple over here, man, or this business person, they really have that experience. And we start identifying our limitations as an excuse for not accomplishing something. And maybe it's a relationship too. I just don't have good relationships. My mom didn't have good relationships, or my dad, or whatever it may be. Write down something there that you feel your weaknesses, your limitations have prevented you from doing or accomplishing or experiencing. We good? We have something? If you feel that way, that your weaknesses have held you back in some way, in one way, you're not in bad company. Moses, you know, a great prophet, leader of Israel. You know, he complained about his shortcomings and inabilities. to God. Remember that? Moses. Gideon, by the way, God called him a mighty man of valor. And Gideon was afraid, feared. He ran, hid. David, short, young. How's he going to defeat Goliath? How's he going to rule a nation? God called him a man after his own heart. David became an adulterer. You're in pretty good company. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Jesus said, on this rock I will build my church. Right? Abraham was old. Sarah was barren. Job was bankrupt. Lazarus was dead. You thought you had a weakness. Right? So now you've got a weakness in the lower left, a strength in the lower right, a number of our awareness in the top left of our weaknesses, and the top section there, something we believe maybe our weaknesses have held us back from accomplishing. Do you hear what Paul's saying in these passages? Oh, man. And I don't know about you, but to sit with these passages and to try and understand them, you feel a great tension with all of the culture around us and the influence around us. Some of the things of the gospel, many of the things in the gospel, are completely counterintuitive to us, right? So I encourage you, dive into these things deeply. I want to read you a passage from Andrew Murray. I'll put it up here. Check this guy out. Yeah, that's right. A partially groomed gentleman from the 19th century. Neckbeards were in. This guy, who's ever read Andrew Murray, any of his books? Pick one up. Pick up The Pursuit of God. It's this big. It's 80 pages. And after you've read 3 of them, just put it back down and just ponder. I mean, he will encourage you, I don't know, in very unique ways. But listen to this passage from a collection that was put together from his writings called Abide in Christ. The Christian often tries to forget his or her weakness. God wants us to remember it, to feel it deeply. The Christian wants to conquer his or her weakness and to be freed from it. God wants us to rest and even rejoice in it. The Christian mourns over his or her weakness. Christ teaches his servant to say, I take pleasure in my infirmities. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities. Quoting that 2 Corinthians verse. And by the way, that's the old King James version. I glory in my infirmities. Are you kidding me? I glory in them. That kind of takes it a little deeper for me. I will boast in my infirmities. I don't know. That kind of puts it on some level of kind of check the box. But what you need to realize is Paul, in fact, in the chapter before, he's talking about things that he's been through. Maybe I should read a few of them. I want you to get, he's not, nor should we, is not just saying this as a matter of assent. Yeah, I boast in my weaknesses. There are a few things here that he talks about where he has experienced the supply of God when things aren't so good, when things can't be done in my own strength. Listen to this. I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1, just to the brink of death. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, danger from in the city, and danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. See, Paul's not just saying this, Paul has experienced what it means for God to lift him up when he's not just weak, but when he's nearly dead, to give him resolve and hope and faith and to be his supply. Are you with me? So when he says, I will glory in my weakness, there's a purpose there. God is made strong in our weakness, right? When I am weak, then I am strong. Oh my goodness. So where are we? The last three lines. The Christian thinks his weakness is his or her greatest hindrance in life and service to God. God tells us that it is the secret of strength and success. Wow. I want us to move forward in the faith today by taking these truths of Scripture and meditate on them, assimilate them, learn what it means for the power of God to be our supply. I want to show you a clip that to me demonstrates the freedom that is really available to us. Because there's freedom in this, folks. We don't want to live our days bound up by these things, right? With this judgment over us to come higher, better, to become something for others to see, or maybe for ourselves to see. But we want freedom from this. So how many of you saw The Greatest Showman? Great. I'm not going to spoil it, but you should watch that film. Keala Settle played the bearded lady, Letty Lutz. She sang a song called This Is Me. It was nominated for Golden Globe, for an Oscar, for Best Original Song. And this song became the anthem of the movie. I want you to watch this clip in a moment and see what happens as the revelations of this lyric, you can see, begin to sink into them and become a revelation for them. I want to read you some of the lyrics so you don't miss it, because this is not the actual song. What I'm going to show you is a clip that was done in New York City with the actors and singers getting together to work through the script and work through the music. And in fact, the movie was not even okayed yet. This was part of the process to get the movie okayed and stamped and ready to go, to green light it, as they say, green lit. All right, so I want to read you some of these lyrics. I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say. Remember, this is the bearded lady and all of the interesting people that P.T. Barnum got together with all of their things the rest of the world threw away. And there's some tension in that movie, I'll tell you, but it's great. I am not a stranger to the dark, the bearded lady singing this. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed. By the way, is this a message from Facebook? Because I don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say. No one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words want to cut me down, I'm going to send a flood, going to drown them out. I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, because here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me. Another round of bullets hits my skin. Well, fire away, because today I won't let that shame sink in. We are bursting through the barricades and reaching for the sun. We are warriors. Yeah, that's what we've become. We are warriors. Goodness. Now, I have to state the obvious. None of us should say, because it's easy to confuse weaknesses, limitations with sin. And I'm not proposing any of us say, you know, this is just who I am. Honey, I'm sorry. Right? This is just who I am. No way. No way. We're going to move forward with freedom and watch how this plays out in this little clip. Crank up that music, man.
Benjamin Justin had just written this new song called This Is Me. And we knew that it was going to be the anthem of the film, but no one had heard it before. And no one had heard Keala sing it live. Keala, who I didn't even want to come out from behind the music stand.
I didn't.
I kept saying to her, just step out, because this is your moment and you have to step out into the ring, metaphorically, because that's what you're doing, and you got to stand right there in front of everyone and just belt this out.
And I didn't want to. In fact, I stood behind that music stand until the day of that presentation. There was a moment in the song that I actually was so scared that I had to actually grab Hugh's hand so that I had somebody to hold on to. And then we got to the end of the number, and all I remember is just deafening, deafening applause. It was a sort of otherworldly experience.
It was one of those moments that will stay with me the rest of my life. Unfortunately, we filmed it.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But sharpest words want to cut me down. Gonna sink that, gonna drown my love. I am hurt, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, cause here I come. And I'm marching out to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen.
Oh,
my gosh. I just should be done. You feel that? Yeah. There's only one thing I want us to get today. They're not 4 points about weaknesses, but one. We have to take our attention off them. We have to stop letting others make us dwell on them. Now, hey, where God leads you and leads us to work on weaknesses, shortcomings, or sin, you bet. But you see, the limitations that we think hold us back, it's when we are weak that God is strong. And we have to begin to take our attention off of not only our weaknesses, even our strengths, folks. And by the way, the strength you've written down on the bottom right can also become, for any of us, our greatest weakness. But we have to take our attention off of these things and put it squarely on the presence and the power and the strength of God. Are you with me? That's truth, folks. It's His truth. So in the middle of your card, I want you to write down the strength of God. Right in the middle of your card. And in the top right, write down how aware God is of your strengths and weaknesses. Scale of 1 to 10. How aware is God? Do I need to give you a hint? The all-knowing, all-powerful, almighty, infinite God, how aware is He of our strengths and weaknesses? It's a 10. And so you look at your card, and that thing at the top, where maybe I've felt like I'm just unable or not quite or not good enough to get there. I don't have the ability to speak. I don't have the ability to do this or that. I just can't quite get there. There's one thing that's going to get you there. And if we take this lesson from the truth of God, from the Gospels, or from the Corinthians today, and let God strengthen us in this, well, we'll move forward with freedom. And you know what? Then we can speak to our family member, we can speak to our friend, because God's truth is becoming ours, and we are the ones that are driving where our community goes, where our conversations go. We are the ones that are doing that because the truth is being planted in us. Are you with me? Billy, would you guys come on back up? What I'd like to do to close this morning is I'm going to put 5 verses up here. And I would just like it if you'll participate with me. This is the body of Christ. If 5 different people will just stand and read these verses. They're short. They're 2 lines, 3 lines. And just read it out loud. And let's hear God's stamp on this time this morning. Let's hear His truth and focus on that. We're going to come to His communion table, and these guys are going to lead us in a song of response. And let's take a moment to just let the body of Christ. I'll leave the verse up there until someone stands, so it's up to you. Lord, thank You for this time. God, thank You for Your truth, Your power, Your presence in our lives. And, oh, Lord, illuminate for us faith, God. Illuminate for us what it means to rest in Your power, to abide with You, and, Lord, to be strengthened in our souls, in our spirits by You, in our hearts, Lord. God, we desperately need You to renew and continue to build us and transform us into your likeness, Lord. Lord, we love you. Let us progress, advance in the kingdom today by faith in you, our God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We love you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. To hear other messages or learn more about Crossroads Church, visit our website at ccaspen.com.